Father. Father God, we just thank you for each and every person that's here this morning. We thank you, Father, for those that are watching us online. We thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. And Father God, we thank you that we will fulfill that plan and that purpose. Father God, we thank you today as we go to study your word, that your word will not return void, but Father God, that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But Father God, we thank you that we'll take that word and we'll share the love of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this nation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father God, we thank you today. We come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness, the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we thank you for your anointing that's here this morning, your anointing that's tangible, your anointing that we can feel, your anointing that we can touch, and your anointing that changes everything in an instant, that your anointing that changes us, that makes everything okay. Father God, we just thank you for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. We pray for mom and dad as they're getting rest, and we thank you for them and their lives. We thank you for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Like I said, once again, we want to welcome all you that are watching us online at rhema.tv or Facebook Live. We're glad to have you with us. It's so awesome how technology has allowed us to share the message right here all around the world. I mean, we have people watching us in the middle of the night, at places around the world that you might never be. But amen, God's a good God. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3, or more than likely you probably don't have your Bibles, but you have a device. Proverbs chapter 3, and I'm going to read some scriptures that I like to read almost on a daily basis. I like to live my life by them. And not only are we going to read these scriptures, we're going to look in the Bible and we're going to see an example. It's always good to see an example of something in the Word so that way we know how to follow that example. And a lot of times, like I said, they always say you lead by example. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, starting with verse 5, it says this. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." Now, I want you to notice there in verse 6, it doesn't say that we shall direct our paths. It says that he shall direct your path. Now, if he's directing, then you're not. Understand that. Because I've seen so many times that our people are trying to figure out how they're going to get through this situation. How are they going to make it happen? And I understand that in the world that we live in, we think that if it's going to happen, we have to make it happen. But when it comes to God, you got to trust in him. So it goes back in verse 5 that says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Everything you have. You know what? That means there is no plan B. It's not, well, I'm going to trust in God, but if that doesn't work. Now, many Christians would say, well, how would you say that wouldn't work? Well, the reason I say that is because I know a lot of people that act like it's not going to work to trust in God. And they say, well, how do I act like it? Well, you might say with your mouth, "I'm trusting with God with all my heart," but I look at you on a daily basis. I see your Facebook posts. I hear you complaining to your friends, wondering what you're going to do, how you're going to make it happen. But it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Now, the New Testament version of that is the verse that I call it my keynote verse in life. It's If I signed your Bible over the last few years, probably 10 years or so, I've probably signed this scripture afterwards. That's Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. Or, like they say on your money, in God we trust. And if you can't trust in God, who can you trust in? You can't trust in your banks, you can't trust in your president, but you can trust in God. See, we have to put our faith in God. Wholeheartedly, 100% sold out. That it doesn't matter, that I'm going to trust God no matter what. And if I trust God, God will direct my path. Now, but the problem is the end of verse 5. It says, and lean not to your own understanding. Because I don't know how many people I've heard them say, well, I don't know how it's going to work. I don't see how this is going to work out for me. I don't see how the good's going to come out of this situation. Praise God. God says, it's not for you to see how. You don't have to see how. Now, I understand, you know, that we live in an educated world. And I really do think that we should educate ourselves. I believe that we should go to school. I believe that we should get degrees. I believe that we should learn trades. I believe that not only should we do all these things, but we should keep learning. You know, that's why I have become a Googleologist. And everyone knows that. Why? Because I like to learn things on a daily basis. A daily basis. It happened 3 or 4 times last night. I'm watching TV or see the news and people talk about, you know, some certain thing or I see, you know, something on online or whatever. So I Google it. And then I keep Googling it. And I keep looking at reviews and I keep, you know, trying to figure out what this means and why. And I mean, I was, has anyone ever, you know, seen that the show there, I think it's called Pawn Stars, you know, where they all have all this old stuff. And there were a couple items there. I'm like, man, that's pretty cool. And so I was Googling why that was and how old this, you know, thing was. And even before they had to bring an expert, you know, to tell them what it was all about. I like to learn. But, you know, it's good to learn, but sometimes you got to forget. When it comes to God, you have to forget about what you've learned sometimes. Well, how's it going to work? Well, I'm here to tell you, I don't know how. You know, but, you know, we always say people tell us when they don't know how, well, that's kind of above my pay grade. Well, that is, it's above my pay grade. It's not for me to figure out how, it's for me to trust God. Just believe. Only believe. It's not for me to figure out how it's going to work. Because I'm here to tell you there's many times I don't know how. I look at situations and I'm like, well, how's this going to work? You know, you have to let, well, you can't let the devil ask you the Dr. Phil question. What do you mean by that? Anyone ever watched, everyone seen Dr. Phil McGraw on TV? You know, and he's talking to people and they're going through life, many of them trying to self-medicate, self this, self that. They're trying to figure out how to manage in life. And Dr. Phil says, well, how's that working out for you? Well, probably no good. So, you know, sometimes when we're trusting God, the devil's trying to ask you the Dr. Phil question, how's that working out for you? And it seems like it's not. And that's the issue. That's the issue. That's what we face on a daily basis, because we get to a place and it seems it's not working out. And all of a sudden on the inside, our world begins to shake. And we begin to think, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? And see, the thing about it is you have to take you out of the equation. It's not about you. It's only about him. How is he going to get you out? Not how are you going to get yourself out, because you can't do anything about it. The Bible says to trust the Lord with all your heart. That means, give it 100%. Or we always would say whenever, I was playing sports, you got to give it 110%. I'm not sure how to give it 110%, but that means everything you have and even more. I mean, you give everything to God. If I've given it to God, then, the Bible says to cast your cares upon him and don't worry about them because he's caring about them. So I don't have to figure out how it's going to work. My grandfather always would say, I'm a stickler for the word. The word says, only believe. All things are possible to them that believes. Mark 9:23. That's what the word says. So do you believe or do you not believe? Because that's the question. It's easy to believe when you're sitting here in church and you're surrounded about, with people that you love. But can you believe in the middle of your circumstances when it looks like there is no way out? When it looks like that everything is going to be taken from you? When it looks like that it's not going to work out? When the devil is asking you the Dr. Phil question, what do you do? It's interesting because in the next scripture here, it says, in all your ways acknowledge him. What does it say? Keep acknowledging God. Keep thanking God. When your mind begins to say, well, it's not working, you thank God. You know what? God is in control. God's got this. It's interesting that, I say it all the time, we never believe our songs. We sing songs over the years and nobody ever, they only believe their songs when they're in church. Around here, one of our staples that my grandfather used to like was a song called God's Got It. And people shout and dance and run and have a great old time. But when they're in their own situation, when they're in their own home, when everything's falling apart, they're not singing God's Got It. Dancing around, shouting, running around. They're probably lying on the floor crying. Because see, the time to remember that God's got it is whenever you're facing a situation that you don't know what to do. So what do? You acknowledge him and you thank him and you give him the glory and you give him the praise. And you trust in him. And a lot of times that we're trying to lean on things that we've learned but at some point in time, human wisdom and human knowledge isn't good enough. Because human wisdom and human knowledge say, well, you're a goner. You're done for. There is no way. There is no way. But you know what? When there is no way, you trust in the Lord with all your heart. And God will make a way because it says that he shall direct our path. And sometimes they say, well, how's he going to do that? Forget about it. Forget about how is it going to happen. Because I think that's the problem that we all face the most is we're trying to think about how it's going to happen for us. We try to think about, things aren't happening. I don't know what to do. When you don't know what to do, you trust in him. You trust in God. And when it seems like it's not working, what do? You keep trusting in God. Having done all to stand, we keep standing. Standing on the promises of God. Leaning on his everlasting arm. It doesn't matter. There's songs from generation to generation that you can sing. No matter how old or how young you are. Songs that you know. Scriptures that you know. Yeah, but it doesn't look like it's going to work. I want you to go with me. And we're going to look at an example in Daniel chapter 3. Daniel the third chapter. And this is a great example of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 coming to pass. Daniel chapter 3, starting with verse 1, and just to kind of give you some background, the Israelites there were in captivity in Babylon, and some of the people who were in captivity had been actually given a good, great responsibility to help out in the situation. King Nebuchadnezzar was a king, and it says, then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth, I want to go start verse 1. I'm getting ahead of myself. Verse 1. Sorry. I'm trying to figure it out. All right. Nebuchadnezzar, verse 1, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and his width was 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So Nebuchadnezzar made a golden statue, an image of himself, and it was 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. 90 feet high. It was the ultimate selfie. I mean, you think people are, you know, take selfies of themselves and they're like, you know. But this guy carved himself out of gold and put himself out there. And interesting, then he, skipping down to verse 4, he said, then a herald cried aloud, let's go back to verse number 3. Anyway, so the satraps and administrators, the governors and the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the province gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, all peoples, nations, and languages, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony, with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So what happened? They played the music and people bowed down. Why? Because they were told to bow down and because the furnace was hot. Some people bowed because they liked Nebuchadnezzar and they really wanted to worship his image. Most people bowed down because they didn't want to be cast into a fiery furnace. Let's just be honest. It wasn't because they wanted to. There were certain people there, and also there were some tattletales. Verse 10. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn. You know, it's interesting how they just don't say everyone hears music. They have to go into detail. Everyone hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery and symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Well, there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See, the whole issue is that there was somebody that was jealous of these Jews. They didn't like it, you know, because they had been given some authority. Anyway, but it goes on to say, these men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you've set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. So here they are in front of King, well, they call him King Neb, you know, because it's really, Nebuchadnezzar is kind of a long name. King Neb spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image which I have set up before you? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, wait, can't he just say music? The horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, and symphony, With all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God, little g, who will deliver you from my hands? So, you understand, these are three young guys. These are not old guys. These are not guys that are advanced in years. They're just some, I don't want to call them young kids, but, just they're relatively young. And, they're not trying to be mean or trying to be rude. They're just trying to worship God, the true God, and follow the commands, to love the Lord thy God and not to bow to any other idol. Anyways, it says, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, big G, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But verse 18 really shows commitment. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image that you have set up. See, that says they're 100% sold out to God, no matter what. It doesn't matter whether, our God's going to deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow. That's trusting the Lord with all your heart. Now, you understand, at this point in time, they do not know how they're going to get out of the fiery furnace. All they know is they're not going to bow. Yeah, but the furnace is going to get hot. What are you going to do? We're not going to bow. And even if we die, we're still not going to bow. Now, King Neb didn't really like that a whole lot. He didn't really appreciate the thing. Now, but we all should learn a lesson from this man. Sometimes when we're upset, we make bad decisions. Happens a lot. So what should we do is, don't make rash decisions when you're upset. It could cost people their lives. Then we skip to verse 19. Then Neb was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See, before he was like, you know what, guys? I understand you didn't bow the first time. Maybe you didn't hear the music. Maybe you don't hear very well. Maybe you need some hearing aids. Maybe you didn't think they were in symphony. Maybe you were hearing the flute and the harp, but didn't sound like it was together, and I said they're supposed to be together in symphony. I mean, maybe you didn't understand. Maybe you don't like my image, my selfie of myself. I'm pretty tall, and you don't like it. But probably after I talk with you, because you guys really kind of like me, that you're going to bow, but now you said you're not going to bow, so he got really mad. He was angry. Really angry. And even he was so angry that his face began to change. And we've probably all been there. We've probably seen other people get that kind of angry. There's sometimes that even we might be a little joking around and just kidding around with people. All of a sudden, when you see their face change, then we have to, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean, anyone ever been there where you're kind of joking around and you're saying stuff, but then the face changes. And you realize that they're not taking it as a joke, they're getting angry. Because when people get angry, they explode them. But here's the thing. When they explode, they usually make bad decisions. That's when we usually say things that we shouldn't have said. A lot of times we'll say things to hurt somebody else, and then it's hard to take those things back. So here's the deal. You have been given tools that you probably shouldn't have. Because now we used to, whenever we had a little fight in a little room, that was two people in the little room, they heard the little fight, they got over it. But now we have the window to the world on our devices, and we tweet and we Facebook and we talk about people to the world. And even though we delete it, some people see it, and you know, and if you're really, really popular, news media picks it up and they put it all over there and said, well, so-and-so did this, but they took it down, but they kept it up. You know, kudos to Mr. President Trump. He just keeps his up, you know. Anyway, he said he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. Now, here's the deal. The fiery furnace is going to burn them up regardless of how hot it really is. Now, my kids used to do this all the time. Not to the furnace. Well, to the furnace on my pool. You know, sometimes it was, my kids wanted to swim when it was a little chilly out, so, you know, you want to turn to make it a little warmer. Well, instead of just turning it on, you know, to a temperature that they wanted, they would just put it as high as it would go. You know, and so my pool was hotter than most people's hot tubs. Now, you understand, heating a pool is a lot bigger than a hot tub and costs money, you know. But they want it hot, 7 times hotter than before. Now, maybe not 7 times. My heater wouldn't go that high, by the way. But, you know, here's the deal. I mean, we're not talking about twice as hot, 3 times as hot, 7 times. It is also interesting you chose the number 7 because isn't that God's number? I don't know. 7 times hotter than before. 7 times. I mean, you know, like I said, if he would have just doubled it, made it twice as hot, that would probably be bad enough. But he made it 7 times hotter. So what happened? You know, it says, and he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then the men were bound in their coats and their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flames of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, so understand that these guys, you know, these were certain mighty men of valor. I mean, why don't you just get the scrawniest dude that you really don't care about? So you take some of the best warriors and you end up killing them because you decided, because you were mad, to turn the heat up. Interesting part. Now, it's interesting because, you know, you would think that, I mean, these other guys died, and these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So they were on the ground in the 7 times hotter furnace. It said they fell down. They weren't standing up to begin with. So, you know, everything, I guess, seemed to be going as planned. But then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. I'm sure his face changed again. As he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound to the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God." Now, interesting part about it is he was able to recognize what the Son of God looks like. That is interesting to me. I mean, a few minutes ago, he's like, well, what God's going to protect you? Now, what is also interesting is the only thing that burned was the things that bound them up. The only thing that burned were the things that kept them from standing, kept them from walking. The things that were binding them up, the things that they couldn't get rid of. It goes on to say, then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, saying, "O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God." See, he changed his tune. It wasn't just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was servants of the Most High God. He understood that their God was able to deliver them. He said, come out here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the midst of the fire. Now understand, this is a 7 times hotter fire that killed the men that threw them in. I don't know how long that they were in the fire. But I do know when they were in the fire, the Son of God was with them, helping them, leading them, guiding them, directing them. He goes on, then he says, you know, anyway, he said, verse 27, and the satraps, administrators and governors and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men whose bodies the fire had no power. The fire had no power. It says the hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Now, you know, I have first-hand knowledge. I started a fireplace one time, and this is what happened. You know, it was a modern fireplace, you know, where you turn the gas on, and I wasn't very old, and, you know, I don't know, 11, 12 years old, and there was matches there, and I lit one match, and it didn't light, and didn't start the fire or something, and it burned out, lit the other match. Well, that's all the matches I had. But then I remember there was a fireplace in the other room. I wasn't at my own house. I was at someone else's house. And the only reason I'm lighting the fire is because I'm the friend. My friend, you know, that their mom said, hey, can you light that fire? It was actually in their bedroom, you know, for me, and they wouldn't do it. So I'm like, I'll do it. So he's like sitting on the bed, you know, waiting for me to, I go in the other room, grab the matches, come back. Now, what I don't think about is that gas was filling the room. So when I lit the match, boom, I felt the fire. Well, being a good student in school, I remember the stop, drop, and roll, and I had a bedspread right there because I was, you know, right there, you know, in the bedroom, so I just started rolling around on the bed. I wasn't on fire, but I felt like it. Not only did I feel like it, I smelt like it. My eyebrows were singed. My nose hairs were singed. Has anyone else had that happen? You singed your hair? My hair was singed. I smelt like fire. Now, I wasn't in 7 times hotter fire. I really wasn't in. I was in a, what you call, I guess, a flash fire or whatever. It's only a second, and all of a sudden it was gone. But it was enough for me to smell like smoke. You know, and I've done that too, you know, not necessarily get my hair singed or whatever, but, you know, I've been around a campfire, you know, and, you know, you're around a campfire, then after you leave the campfire, you're like, I smell like smoke. So you understand what great miracle. Not only did these guys walk free in the fire, they didn't smell like fire. They didn't get their hair singed, their nose hair singed, because I'll tell you what, when you get nose hair singed, you smell stuff for a long time. You can put all the cologne you want, and all you smell is burnt cologne. You know, it doesn't really matter. But the deal is, they didn't get anything singed. Like Nebuchadnezzar said, the fire had no power over them. You know, it's interesting. It goes on to say, Nebuchadnezzar, verse 28, spoke saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces. And their houses shall be an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Well, here's what I'm trying to tell you. Is that Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they didn't know how they were going to get out of this fiery furnace. They didn't know what they were going to do. And, you know, but they went in. But when they went in, nothing happened. Except for Jesus showed up. But they're like, you know, understand, in their own mind, they're thinking, I don't know how that's going to happen. Now, here's what the Lord told me. So many times, we're facing a situation, and it looks like we're going to get in the fire. And we're praying, God, don't let me get in that fire. Don't let me get in that fire. Don't let me get in that fire. But you know what? If they wouldn't have ever went in the fire, there wouldn't have ever been a miracle. And King Nebuchadnezzar wouldn't have ever been taught. I mean, if the angel of God or the Son of God would have appeared, and you know, whenever they were bound up and delivered from the fire, then it wouldn't have been the same blessing. But they had to go through the fire. But when they went into the fire had no effect on them. So quit complaining about the fire and start looking to the sun. See, the fire that you can see doesn't have as much power as the God that you cannot see. Now, we do not know whether Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego ever actually saw the fourth man in the fire. But King Nebuchadnezzar did, and that's all that mattered. The thing is, no matter whether you can see him or not see him, that every time, every day, your God is with you. He's directing you. He's leading you. He's leading you in the fire. He's leading you out of the fire. It doesn't matter whatever you're facing. And it seems like it's impossible. But you know what? It's impossible for a seven times hotter fire not to literally obliterate a human being. But it's also more impossible that the only thing that comes, that gets burnt, is the things that bind them. And then when they come out, they don't smell of no fire. They don't smell no fire. Now, I don't know if it was hot or not hot because, you know, unfortunately, we didn't have news media there that get a good interview. Well, here we are with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We just want to ask you how that fiery furnace was. Was it really hot or not? And who was that fourth guy? You know, we didn't have media there on the scene, you know. Or anything like that. So we don't have all the answers, but we don't need all the answers. All we need to know is there is somebody. Is that God is with us in the middle of the fire, in the middle of the flames, when it looks like there is no way, when it looks like that you're going to be burned up, when your mind's telling you how's this going to work out for you. You understand? I'm sure. Whenever they were walking through that fiery furnace, the Dr. Phil question was ringing through their mind, how's this going to work out for me? But you know what? They were committed. It didn't matter. It didn't matter if they were burned up. It didn't matter because they were going to serve their God with all their hearts. And they had to choose not to lean to their own understanding. They had to choose that, you know what? It doesn't matter if there's fire here. You know, people think, well, you need to fight fire with fire. No. You don't. You need to trust God. And he'll get you through the fire. You don't have to figure out how you're going to get through. You don't have to figure out what are you going to do. Because you know what? These guys, in the natural, there is nothing they could do. What are they going to do? Well, they're going to do some karate chop judo on these guys that are binding them up, and they're going to run out. You know, I mean, it didn't say, hey, we're going to huddle up together. And so as soon as this guy, you know, you catch him in under the chin, I'll get him in the belly, and we're going to run out of here, and we're going to be, you know, free. Because, see that's kind of what a lot of Christians today, they try to do. Well, if I do this and that, I mean, I can escape. Well, and so is he directing your paths? Or is this something you're trying to do? Some of us are trying to escape the fire because we're afraid we're going to get burned. But you have to trust in the power of the greater one more than the power of the fire. Yeah, but no, there is no, it's just but God. But God shall deliver us from that fire furnace. But even if not, I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to change my statement. It doesn't matter. I tell you what, you know, maybe today you feel like you're going through the fire. You feel like that the flames are so hot that there is no way out. But you know what? Quit looking at the fire and look to the fourth man. Know that Jesus Christ, he said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Know that he's with you in every situation. Know that he hasn't taken you this far to let you down. Understand that you have authority. Understand that you can make it. Understand that it's only temporal. See, for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the fire was only a temporary setback. For the other guys that threw him in, the fire was the end. Are you going to let your fire be your temporary setback, or are you going to let it be the end of your life? And that's the choice you need to face. You need to decide, am I going to trust God, or am I not going to trust God? Because, you know, we say it with our mouths, well, I'm going to trust God. But are you really? Now, like I said, we sing the songs, he'll do it again. But do you really think he'll do it again? And you're afraid about your situation. You don't know what you're going to do. And I understand, I don't know what I'm going to do either. But it's not for us to know what to do. It's for us to trust God. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. It doesn't matter if you're facing the fire. It doesn't matter if it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. My dad's favorite scripture, the things that are impossible to man are possible with God. Luke 18:27. And I understand that it seems impossible, but we're not reading some fairy tale here. We're reading actual history book of what happened when three guys decided that they were going to trust in the Lord with all their heart. We're seeing an example of Proverbs 3:5-6 right there before our eyes. How three guys trust the Lord with all their heart and lean not to understanding. And what happened? They walked out of the fire. So I'm telling you this morning that if you'll trust God with all your heart and not lean to your own understanding, you're going to walk out of the fire. I don't know how it's going to happen. Don't ask me how. It's not for me to tell you how. It's for you to believe. Only believe. All things are possible to him that believes. Have faith in God. In God we trust. Be sold out to God. And when you don't know what to do, just trust him. The fire might be hot, but your God's hotter. You know, and it doesn't matter, because sometimes we feel, well, you know, we're facing a bad situation and it just got hotter. That's right. You laugh about it. Because, you know, and it is comical, because you know what? It doesn't matter if the flames are hotter. The other flames would have burnt me up, you know, anyway. So, you know, what? So it's going to be more impossible than it was before? You know, the deal is that the same God that was there that day in Babylon with King Neb and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and was right there in the fiery furnace, is the same God that's with you today. Amen. Amen. And what's also pretty awesome is when those three boys were cast in the fire, they fell down. You know, and sometimes it seems that we're falling down in the fire and we don't know what to do. Well, what you have to do is just get up. You say, well, how am I going to get up? That's impossible. I'm bound. But you know what? When you trust God with all your heart, it might seem like you're bound. It might seem like there is no way you can get up. But if you'll begin to stand up, you'll begin to stand up and just say, hey, you know what? That fire has no power over me. That fire has no power over me. Devil, you have no right. You have no authority. And I tell you what, it doesn't matter how hot it gets. I'm still going to trust my God. And in the end, God will get the glory, because in the end, after everything was all said and done, what happened? There was a decree that you cannot come against the one true living God. And anyone who does is going to be cut to pieces. Forget about the fire. We're cutting you to pieces. But man, when three guys trusted in God, look at the outcome. Look at the outcome. But God's still the same. Jesus, the Son of God, the one that was the fourth man of fire, says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday in the fire, today and forever. We have the same. Not a different. And because some people say, well, you know what, God, when are you going to show up? When are you going to show up? See, they don't understand that God's already shown up. He's already on the scene. To see, before they walked in the fire, Jesus was still with them. They didn't see him. They just knew he was there. We have to be able to know he's there when we don't see him. And see, what happens is we're so caught up in what we can see that we forget about that greater is he that's in me than he that's what I can see. And it doesn't matter how many Dr. Phils are out there asking, well, how's it working for you? How's this believe in God thing doing? It looks like you're going in the furnace. So what? I go in the furnace. The furnace has no power. The furnace has no power. It can get hot. It can burn other people up. But it has no power over me, because greater is he that is in me than he that's in that furnace. And you have to decide, do you believe or do you not believe? You don't have to figure out how. You don't have to understand how it's going to work. All you have to do is believe God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here this morning. And Father God, we thank you for those that are going through tragedies and trials and tribulations and things that they don't know what to do. Whether they're here in this room or watching us online, we thank you, Father, that this morning or tonight or whatever time it is when they're watching, as they heard this message, that something on the inside begin to stir their faith. And they begin to understand that they can trust God. And no matter how hot the fire seems to get, no matter how tough it seems, that you're with them through every situation, through every circumstance, through every trial, through every tribulation. Help them understand that they can trust in you. And you'll see them through. Father God, we thank you for each and every person that's here. And we thank you, Father, for those that are here this morning and they don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. They don't know the fourth man in the fire. Father God, we thank you today that they can know him. They can accept him as their Lord and Savior. Or maybe they're here today and they said, you know what? One time I hung out with that fourth man. I ran with God, but I've kind of turned my back and I went away. And today I want to come back and rededicate my life to God. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, you've never asked Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior of your life, or you once were walking with him but you've turned your back and you want to rededicate your life to God, if that's you today, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this room. If you're here today and you've never been saved and you want to be saved this morning, you want to meet the fourth man in the fire, or you want to rededicate your life to God, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. I don't want to leave anybody out. I want to make sure you know that man. I want to make sure you know what to do when you don't know what to do. Father God, I don't see any hands, but we thank you if anyone is here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father, for sending laborers across our path on a daily basis. We thank you, Father, for for their life. And we thank you, Father, for what you mean to them. And we thank you that every day you're sending somebody across their path and they will accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. Amen. God's a good God. Amen. Well, don't forget all the announcements. You know, don't forget Wednesday night, we have our lights on. You know, here at Rhema, 2 million Christmas lights being lit up. You know, and I understand, you know, that a lot of times that the traffic is bad, but that's okay. You know what? God is good. Amen. Today on Rhema.tv, we had 1,667 people watching on Facebook. We had 7,244 people watching us at least part of the time. I don't know if they were there the whole time. Amen. I just want you to remember that when it seems tough and it seems there is no way, that God has made a way. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're a first-time visitor, our connection team is in the aisle. They have a gift for you, and they want to take you to a special place and give you that gift. So I encourage you to go with them and get a hold of the gift that they have for you. Amen. Praise God. God's a good God. But, you know, I want you to remember this message. Not some things are going great, but I want you to remember, next time you're facing a situation and it seems like the fire is hot, it seems like maybe it's been 7 times hotter, remember, there is no power in that fire. Amen. Well, pastors are headed to the doors to shake your hand. I'm going to be at the east door if you want to shake my hand. Huh? I already did. Yeah, already did the connection team. Amen. Well, the way we dismiss around here is they're going to sing a song, give you time to go to the door. Don't forget, tonight, 6 p.m., right here, Brother Bill's ministering, you know, here in Broken Arrow. I'll be in Oklahoma City at 6 p.m. tonight. Amen. God bless you. Brother Rich.
Come on, let's declare this. Oh, Jesus is the answer for the world.